We are in Hebrews 11, verse 28, and I'm going to take this one verse at a time, because I think we can delve into it like I asked you to be, have that stringy thing, the technical term for that, in Exodus 12. But if we could I have somebody read verse 28 of Hebrews?
By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them.
Okay, when I read that, the first thing that came into my mind was, what does he mean by faith? How much faith this took? And what did this entail? What did the very first Passover entail? So where do you go for that? You go to Exodus 12. And you see what happens and what was expected. How many people have watched Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments and the different Ten Commandments show? From that, if that is in your subconscious mind while you're reading this, you think that God said it's going to happen, and then the next day it happens. And so you're thinking, okay, I'll just go and do it. That does take faith, but let's read this and see what happened during this time. And with Passover, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to his father's house, a lamb for a household. If the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to that which can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of congregation of Israel will kill their lambs at twilight." So, saying all that, when did Moses get this instruction to do this?
When did he give it, or when did he get it?
When did he get it from the Lord? When did the Lord tell him to do it?
Well, it was after nine plagues.
Okay, after nine plagues. Would you say that it happened months before this took place? Or how long do you think before the Passover?
At most a couple weeks, because this month is to be the first month of the year for you.
There you go. So it's in the same month, probably. And probably before the 10th of that month, because that is when they're supposed to select the lamb. Mm-hmm. So at this point in time, we don't have an exact date or time. So in my mind, it's either the first through the ninth, sometime in there. So about, you have a little bit more than a week's worth of time frame to come from. So this allows for planning. Because if you're told the same day select the best of your flock, you still have to sort through the flock and make sure no blemish and everything. So that does take time. So, if you're not seeing anything happening, how many of us start off one day really strong on something, and then it starts waning as it continues on?
But they had a specific timeline. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever day it was, they knew on the 10th day this was happening, on the 14th day this was happening, so they had something to look forward to.
But
it wasn't just like, pick your lamb and wait. Right?
Well, or was it? you're picking the lamb. When are you supposed to select the lamb?
Day 10.
Day 10. Now, are you going out and on day 10 and selecting it, or are you looking and observing?
And negotiating with your neighbors if you need to.
Small household. Who has the best lamb, either goat or sheep? Yeah.
Well, you know, when I think about it, I mean, at my first read through, I think to myself, they already saw 9 plagues. They already saw, you know, gnats come from the sand, water turn into blood. Like, how much faith does it really take? But then you could think later, oh, okay, well, they're this people in the wilderness who have seen all the 10 plagues, who have been delivered through the Red Sea, who's been given water from a rock, who sees a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And then you say, but they still didn't believe. So I guess, like, my first initial reaction would be, well, you're saying, like, well, it didn't happen immediately. Like, did they wax or wane in their faith? And I'm thinking, but how could they? You know?
But we're also talking about Moses, because Hebrews said Moses was faithful during this. So let's go to, why do you think that? Let's go to Exodus, the chapter right before that. Let's hear what happened. And actually, we can go into 10, but 10 verse 20. Pharaoh said to him, get away from me, because this is right after the 9th plague. And he relieved them from the 9th plague of darkness. The Lord did. And Pharaoh said, get away from me, take care never to see my face again, for on that day you see my face, you shall die. Moses said, as you say, I will not see your face again. In the Cecil B. DeMille, Cecil B. DeMille thing, he left right there. But you go on to verse 11, or chapter 11. The Lord said to Moses, yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh, upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that they ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and for gold jewelry. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of people. You think that might be over time, but look at the next verse. So Moses said, thus says the Lord. Who is he saying that to?
The people.
Well, is it? About midnight, I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, all the firstborn and cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt. There shall never be, and that has never have been, nor ever will be again. And if we scroll down, because you have scrolling here, down to, and all these servants, in verse 8, and all these servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, you and all the people who follow you, and after that I will go out. And then it says, and he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. He was still talking with Pharaoh. So he had said this in front of Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And then Moses did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He did not let the people of Israel go out of the land. I'm saying this, so after the 9th plague, the Lord told him that he was going to cause all the firstborn of Egypt to die. And Moses told that in front of Pharaoh himself. In my mind, that right there takes faith. You get it from the Lord, and then you speak it to the President of the United States, I don't care who it is, but you say, the Lord is going to do whatever. And this is right after that president had said, you leave me, or the next time I see you, you die. And your parting shot is, the Lord is going to cause this to happen. I think that's showing of Moses' faith right there.
Well, also another thing for me is I tend to kind of forget sometimes, like this is sort of the beginning of their journey. So I always think of, oh, Moses, like of course he had faith because of all the stuff in the desert, but this was before all that. So, and at this point, I don't think, could be wrong, I don't think that God's demonstrated his power over life and death through Moses yet, like with the firstborn all dying and all the other plagues, you know, they had witch doctors and whoever, their magicians trying to copy him, but, you know, no one else had demonstrated that power over life and death yet. And so if the Pharaoh was viewed as like their god or whatever, it's kind of like a direct challenge. So I could see how that would be, it would take a lot more faith for him to give that warning for that plague even than the other ones, potentially.
But building on this, but building on the faith on that this is the, after nine plagues, do you think the children of Israel, do you think Moses, do you think them would have selected a lamb, killed it, and put blood on the post on the very first, if that was the very first time, if they hadn't seen any of the other miracles?
Oh, if they hadn't seen the plague?
Yeah, if this was the very first plague.
Yeah, there'd be a few slackers in the group.
Yeah. But they have seen them. And so they got very specific about this, about the Passover, again, because it's a foreshadowing of
Christ.
Correct. Yeah, Christ, who was selected without blemish, and waited until the proper time. Selected on the 10th, sacrificed on the 14th, selected from birth, or brought down to die, didn't die until early 30s. And during that time, what were they supposed to do with this lamb from day 10 to day 14?
Get to know it better.
Yeah.
Separate it.
Separate it, and to make sure it was perfect. And Jesus showed his perfectness, perfection in his life. Yes.
In Exodus 12, verse 18, it says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you eat the unleavened bread until the 21 and 20th day at even. So for 7 days, they had to not have the unleavened bread in their house. And then after that, Moses called to draw out the lamb according to their families and kill it. So I think they had to at least wait that 7 days of purification before they killed the lamb on the 21st day.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you, because that's good clarifying. I didn't read far enough, I guess, and I was looking at the 14th was when they were supposed to. And to go with this, how were they supposed to eat it? With fully clothed, staffs ready, and ready to leave.
The way you eat your breakfast on the way out the door in the morning.
What was supposed to be done with what was left over?
Burn. Wasn't supposed to be left over.
Yeah.
Burn it.
The whole sacrifice was used. The whole sacrifice of Jesus was used. He did not leave a part of him that was not used. And by faith, they were ready to go. Because at a moment's notice, as soon as that Lord said go, they were supposed to go. And they had, during this time, from the ninth plague, till this plague, they were supposed to talk with their neighbors and they got favor from their neighbors, where they received all kinds of jewelry, silver and gold, to take out because it's going to be used later. So all this is happening. What do you think, what kind of witness is this to the Egyptians?
A lot of the Egyptians, I think, believed it. They were upset with Pharaoh for not, I think, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine how that would be when you know something's coming and you feel like, hey, this is about to come and you can't participate, you know, you can't do anything with the blood. It's not going to help you because your Pharaoh is just refusing to let them go. I can imagine that that's why they would probably be giving up gold and silver and all that stuff to try to somehow get favor. Or somehow avert it, but showing that difference, like they're not the chosen people.
Yeah, and when I think about the, like, to your point, when I think about the difference between the Egyptian people and the Hebrew people, I think, because, I mean, demonstrating their unfaithfulness in the wilderness continually, I think the only thing that I can really see that is of significant difference is the fact that God just chose the Hebrews.
And we're going to see that next week. And we'll talk about the faith of crossing the Red Sea. Thank you for your input. Any last comments? I'm sorry, we're a little over. Who would like to close this in prayer?
Thank you.